Blog Talk Radio.
Tuning in, Soul Purpose Healing. My name's Beata, and my guest tonight is a beautiful sister who I just met over the phone, but whose website I got to know. And Taliba Ndidi is joining me tonight with some other guests on the line. And I'm so grateful to have Taliba on at this point because we, on Soul Purpose Healing, are writing her story. His story has been a season of male dominance, of male wars and fighting and corporate greed and evil and deception. And we are in a season in the cosmos and the universe to write her story. And her story, in many ways, begins in the womb. And so I love that song, Search Me, Yah, because it is reminding us that our Creator, Yahuwah, gave us this amazing part to the human vessel, this sacred vessel called the womb. And we don't pay enough attention to this part of our being, of our vessel. And so we have someone with us tonight who is an expert or who has extreme knowledge and who is doing a work in this area for all women and even for men, because on some level the womb is associated with the man as well. Of course, we all come through the womb, and so that's the connection that we all have. And tonight, Taliba Ndidi is going to give us some insight, wisdom, and knowledge about this sacred place that I call a divine vortex. So I believe, Taliba, are you there? Taliba Ndidi, I think I have 310-740-2120.
Yes, I'm here, sister. How are you?
I'm fine. Welcome, welcome to Soul Purpose Healing. We're so glad to have you. And as I said, it's so relevant and so timely that we have this conversation, this discussion about this very sacred place that is in such need of healing right now on the earth. All over the earth, women are seeking, or searching in themselves and outside themselves to bring healing and strength to this place. So welcome, Taliba. How are you this evening?
I am wonderful, and thank you for having me on the show. It's a pleasure to be able to share with like minds and people who are vibrated on that same frequency
of love,
because love is what we need.
Hallelujah. That's right. That's what it's all. That's the answer to all our problems, and that's why her story needs to be written, because her story is going to tell the story of love and compassion and wisdom and understanding. And you are here tonight to shed some light on this beautiful place called the womb. I always like to ask my guests to, first of all, give us a little background of where you're from and what your family life was like and how you stepped into this assignment that you are now in.
Oh, wow. So my background is in herbology. I am an herbalist. I grew up in Louisiana, where, you know, my mother, she never took us to the doctors unless we, you know, really had to go. But she would, you know, mix up her little herbal remedies, and her uncle was really the herbalist in our family. Like, if any one of us became ill or anything, he'd quickly go out and pull something out of the yard, come back in, tie some string around it, and tie it around our neck. You know, just little simple things that he and my mother would do that really helped keep us in alignment with nature to help heal us. And that kind of stuck with me, you know, throughout the years as I've grown and ventured off into life. So, you know, most of my family was living in Los Angeles, California. And when I, you know, graduated from high school, I moved over to Los Angeles. And in my travels being in Los Angeles, I came to know myself. You know, the ancestors say, know thyself. And that's where I came into learning who I am as a woman and as a human being, and what my purpose was on this planet. And it all, you know, started off because I had a respiratory tract infection. And I was working, you know, late nights at UPS, and all the dust and stuff was just getting into my lungs. And, you know, I became real ill to where I was really at the point of death. You know, I had gone to the doctor. I had a severe cough that, you know, the doctor, of course, just gave me some antibiotics. And that was what really was killing me, was the antibiotics. So for a whole week, I was out, laid out, couldn't move, couldn't do anything. And at that particular time, I went over to a friend's house, and she gave me one herb. It was mullein. And in 3 days from drinking that mullein tea, I sprung back up, and I was, like, so relieved and so amazed. I'm like, well, what is this you gave me? I mean, like, because I was, like, on my deathbed, and in 3 days I was up walking around. And so that's when I just really went into studying herbs, and I really changed my life 360 degrees. You know, I started studying and doing research and really understanding all the stuff, you know, the food that we eat and how, you know, the chemicals have been put in. So I just became a vegan at that point. You know, I cold turkey, because I'm from Louisiana, and we ate everything from the rooter to the tooter, but we, you know, we grew our own food and raised our own animals. But at that particular time, you know, that was a different time frame. So I just became a vegan at that point, and then I started studying herbology with all the top herbalists in Los Angeles, like Russell Harrison, Dr. Fee, Akadama Herbs. I mean, I learned a wealth of information of how to formulate herbs and how they work hand in hand with our organs and how to use food as medicine. So that was just like one of the greatest, you know, adventures and life learnings that I, you know, acquired, you know, working and living in Los Angeles. And a lot of women were coming, you know, to us with issues, and then that's when I got into the whole womb energy. I started creating a vaginal suppository for cysts, and, you know, everything that I've created it because I needed to, you know, have an answer and remedy. I had cysts on my ovaries, and I was like, oh, wow, you know, I've been a vegan for like 5 years, and I have cysts? What do I have to do? So I got in the lab and formulated a herbal suppository and, you know, put it in, and the cysts disappeared. So that's when my work came around healing the womb. And from that point on, I've just been helping women really understand the importance and the sacredness of the womb. And the womb is the center of every woman's life. I mean, our womb is what we are, how we are connected to the center of this galaxy. We're connected to Mother Earth. We're connected to the cosmic mother. We're connected to the universal mother. So the womb is where it all resides. And it's time for us to really tune in and really hear what our womb is saying to us, because she's talking every day, all day. You know, and I ask a lot of my clients, like, when you, you know, are in meditation, like, who are you talking to? I mean, who is hearing what you're saying? And the first is our womb. The womb is picking up that vibration because that is us, and that is connected to the highest source, the Most High. So the womb is talking, and it's time for us to listen and really take heed. So that's my
mission. Wow, that is your journey is so inspiring to me as a healer, as well as a herbalist, as a life coach. Because I have come to a place that I realize I've stopped trying to control everyone. I realize people have to suffer sometimes before they start moving into their life's purpose and get into their divine assignment. And that's what happened to you, it sounds like. That respiratory infection introduced you to mullein, an herb that was totally able to heal you when antibiotics were destroying your microbes and your genome, your biotics. And so your journey is so important. I understand fully now why you're doing what you're doing, because you suffered, and you can now tell a story that some people may get. They may be suffering, is what I'm saying. Some people, I realize, have to suffer before they're going to make a change in life. Have you seen that yourself?
Yeah, and that's the other part, too, of why I really, really am so passionate about this, because we don't have to suffer. I mean, unfortunately,
right.
I had to suffer, but in growing up, my mother had 7 strokes, 4 aneurysms removed from her brain, and I was at the age of 13. So my mother was left paralyzed on her left side after the surgery, you know, and I became mother. Our roles reversed. So I had to really take that whole role at 13 to nurture my mother. And what that taught me is that we don't have to suffer. That's why I really got into the whole herbal, you know, healing arts, is to come up with preventive health. We can prevent all these things from happening to us if we just really live a natural, wholesome lifestyle. And because I had that experience of having to take care of my mother at 13, I really want people to understand that you don't have to suffer. You don't have to experience near death to live a healthy, wholesome life. So preventive health is the key.
Yes, and that's another common thread that we have is I watched my mother with alcoholism. Hers was a slow suicide. So I had a very deep sadness most of my young life, and she was an alcoholic from the time I was, I think a baby, really. And I watched her most of my young life drown her sorrows, her disappointments, her depression in alcohol, and then she finally died. And that's when we wake up. When we watch our loved ones, our mothers, our fathers suffer. And tell me, Taliba, what do you think the root cause of your mother's illnesses, her problems were, her health issues?
I mean, taking care of everybody except herself, and living in in a stressful environment. And as you know, she did smoke cigarettes and drink coffee every day, and then tried to raise five kids and balance out everything in the house with my father, because they was married for 48 years. So, balancing all that out, but being the go-to person who never had time for herself. She always had to take care of everybody else and never really stopped to take care of herself. And that's where we are now. It's time for us to take care of ourselves, take care of our womb, take care of our lives, because the mother is the backbone of every family. Not only the backbone, the womb is the gateway for every human being to come on this planet. So we have to honor the mother. We have to honor the feminine energy and the feminine embodiment, the embodiment of the feminine principle, and bring back that sacredness of honoring thy mother. Simple as that, honor thy mother and thy father. But at this particular time, the energy coming on this planet is for us to, as women, stand firm in our womb and be responsible as women.
And then you mentioned you grew up in Louisiana, so I imagine your mother was eating a lot of animal flesh, like the whole
family. Oh, yeah, we ate it all. We raised animals. We raised animals and fruit, vegetables and stuff. So, yes. We ate it all.
Yeah, that's so fascinating to me now that I'm a vegetarian, how I watch these YouTube videos of people raising chickens and cows and all that, and they treat them so well, and then they kill them and eat them. And I'm like, wow, we're so messed up in this area. It's like, okay, let's change this picture around. You take care of the animals, and then, boom, your soul is gone. Their soul is gone. We kill them and eat them. And we put that soul into our soul. Oh, we're so confused. Anyway, I won't get on my animal eating charade.
Well, I mean,
but
it's just the times, I mean, back then we didn't have all the energy that's on the planet now. So back then it was okay. And even how we were introduced to eating meat, during the Ice Age, we had to. So it was just, something that was carried on throughout, the centuries to live and survive, So, but now we're in a whole new paradigm. There's a whole new energy on the planet, and we have to vibrate and maintain a frequency that does not cause or require a lot of meat. I mean, if you eat meat, you don't have to eat a lot of it, because I know a lot of people just don't get this whole thing of vegetarianism or veganism or raw food, live food. A lot of people just not on that vibration. But we have to understand that we are in a new vibration. So in order for us to, survive and to manage our health in this energy, we're going to have to, eat more plant-based foods.
Right. You're so right. We have to have compassion and patience. And like I said, some people are going to have to suffer before they learn the hard lessons.
Right.
But let me ask you now, you're seeing a lot of women who are struggling with their health, who have challenges. And what kind of symptoms are you seeing the most? Do you have like a few health challenges that come up more often than others?
When it comes to the womb, the first issue, I mean, it doesn't matter if you have PMS, it doesn't matter if you have fibroids, if you have endometriosis. I mean, it really doesn't matter what your illness is. It's really just your spirit screaming, saying, it's time for a change. And the way that I work with, you know, every woman is to go to the core. We have to get to the core, and that's our spirit. And if your spirit is if it's imbalanced, if it's been wounded, I mean, on any level, whether you've been molested, whether you've been raped, I mean, it doesn't really matter. It's all residing in the womb. So it's an energy. It's a remembrance. It's understanding that we have to heal on a cellular level for our spirit to be healed. So, yes, I mean, I see a lot of women with fibroids. I see a lot of women with breast cancer. But it's all linked to the same one and only, the womb. It's definitely linked to the womb.
So I have a teaching I do on pH, high pH potential of hydrogen and alkalinity and acid, and acidity, and do you find that are women aware of the acid alkaline level of emotions that they're carrying, or do you have to kind of introduce them at that level of what their emotions are doing to their body?
Yeah, I have to really educate women of understanding that the pH balance is very important. I mean, we're really now coming to an understanding that our emotions is linked to, our disease or discomforts in our life, because our emotions is carrying on an energy as well. And like I said, it's all on a spiritual level. And if you have a lot of stress in your life, or if you're not really thinking in a positive way and handling your life on a positive level, you're going to have stress. You're going to have negative energy that's attached to these emotions. So I like to work with women first and foremost is before I do any type of work with them, I have them work on themselves by finding out what's attached to their womb spiritually, whether it be a physical human being, whether it be someone, a deceased family member or whoever, or whatever is attached to the womb, because the womb It's a sponge. I mean, and that's where we hold all our feelings and all our emotions. It's in the womb. So I have them do a specific little exercise to where they can tap into the womb and see exactly what's attached to the womb, and to do an exercise to just, basically remove it. We have a lot of, good things that's attached to the womb, so you get to pick and choose whether you want this energy to stay or if you want this energy to go. So it's really the energy, it's all our emotions, how we feel.
Now, can you describe, is that tapping, a literal tapping with the fingers, or is it mental or just words, or can you describe a little bit for us what that process or procedure is like?
Yeah, it's called a womb mandala, where it's really a meditation type exercise where you are really tuning into your womb and you're literally talking to her, and listening. Because that's what I find we don't do a lot here in society is listen. It's finding that quiet space and really tuning into your womb, talking to her, and hearing what she has to say to you, and she will reveal it to you. So it's done like in a meditative exercise, really, some breath work and the whole nine. So, for all the listeners tonight, if they're interested, they can email me, and I'll be more than happy to send the exercise to them. It's a very simple exercise.
Yeah, I'm into, I believe strongly about the breath being a worship tool. As well as a healing tool, because we don't get our oxygen from any other place but the Most High, the Creator of heaven and earth. So, in your healing tools, do you teach yoga, or do you just include that breathing and all that in whatever you're doing?
I just included it all in. I have a background in I've been doing Kundalini yoga since back in way in the early 90s. So it's kind of a way of life for me, and Qigong. So breath work is really essential. I incorporate it with everything. And it's just understanding that, it's all energy. We are all energy, electrical beings, and we all are breathing in oxygen and the breath of life will help you. It will bring you on deep, deep levels to connect to the core of your issue.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let me just at this point let everyone know who's on the call. If you have a question, please hit number one, and I will see the board will light up when you hit number one, and then I will open up your mic. So I have one person, I think that's our sister in Arizona, Mama AZ, on the line. Welcome, Sister AZ.
Thank you. Thank you, my sister. Thank you. Thank us. Thank us. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you're loud and clear. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Sister, thank you for, I said to you earlier, but however I'm saying it to you again, thank you so much for stepping into your mission and being clear about laying this foundation for the women on this planet and beyond, because there are others from other worlds who have tapped in to you and ones who have this particular mission, and that is such a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing, and I'm just grateful. I want to ask you, would it be possible to share that meditation with the listening audience myself, or is it something that's long that is, you know, you have to, like, send it to us? Or
yes,
can you shorten?
Yeah, it's long, and it's really, you know, really personal, going in deep. But like I say, it's just basically tuning into your womb in the meditation phase and placing your hand over your womb and really talking to her, and then going through the exercise. It's a three-step exercise. So, yes, I can email it to, you know, anyone who wants a copy of it.
Oh, that's wonderful. I want to say, Sister Viata, when Brother Kwame mentioned this sister to me, I heard him say she had 20 acres of land. And I don't know what that represents, but I'm saying it, I'm putting it out there into the universe because of how necessary this mission is. And if there is someone who has exactly 20 acres of land, would you please be kind enough to raise your hand, call into the show, raise your hand, because we need to know about this. This journey, this mission that this sister is on is part of a vision, sisters, that I saw many, many moons ago. And in my ministry, every now and again, someone will donate an extra bedside commode. And my spirit has always told me to save that commode because it is going to be used in healing purposes. And I didn't exactly know clearly what that meant until I spoke to this sister earlier today, and I got a light bulb moment.
Hmm.
And I said, wow. And so, you know, these porta potties, people, your listening audience, who's listening, save your bedside porta potties, especially if the pot can come out, because this is going to be very valuable to healing all over the planet. And what I'm envisioning, Sister Viata, is this sister being able to be mobile and going from location to location and improvising these bedside commodes, these porta potties, in her womb therapy or her womb healing ceremony. And the next thing I want to put emphasis on, what really made it clear to me that the ancestors, the ascended masters, have been speaking to me. She mentioned to me about the bees. And you know, Sister Viata, when you were here, did you not have an episode, a conversation with the bees here?
With the bees, yes. Yes, I did.
That was very symbolic.
Yeah, they were hanging around a lot.
Exactly. Well, they were communicating with us, sister. And I'm not surprised that this sister is on this line today, because today is day 19. 19, you know, is a sacred number in many cultures. So
yes.
I just wanted to put that little bit of information out there. And one other thing, everybody, we must learn to take a chill pill, maybe a couple of chill pills, and be quiet and shut the heck up sometimes. And just listen, because if we talk too much, the Creator, your ancestors, everybody who's communicating with you, you can't hear them. And this is why I'm so grateful that I had the opportunity to shut the heck up and listen to my ancestors that called me to Florida, St. Augustine, and then to Virginia. So it's very powerful to be able to be quiet and listen. And that's my word.
Hallelujah.
I give thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We thank us. Yeah, and
Thank you. Since
Sister AZ mentioned the moon, I don't want to forget to ask you, Sister Taliban, to give us a little summary about your grandmother moon and moon time intentions. I was on your website and I saw this beautiful video. You were talking about healing around certain times when the moon is full. Can you just give us a little summary of the moon energy and how that can help a woman in her health challenges?
Yes. It is the basic way for us to get back to nature and get back in tune with nature, because the moon, as we all know, it governs the woman, because the moon pulls the waters of the ocean of Mother Earth and the tides of the, you know, ebbing and the flowing. But that's what life is all about. And I speak to a lot of the women that I work with, is to get in tune with the moon. Follow the phases of the moon so that you can start living in rhythm, because the new moon is really all about new beginnings and new projects, and, you know, drop the seed into the ground to grow, you know, the food for us to eat. And then the first quarter is really all about gathering all your energy and your resources and nurturing and watering that plant, that seed you planted in there or that project you started on. And then when the full moon comes, then you start seeing, you know, the fruits that are bearing, you know, from the plant. And then the last quarter is when we harvest, and also when we release. You know, it's the same as in the seasons. You know, we have the spring, that's the new beginning, that's when everything comes to life. You know, the flowers start blooming, the animals come back out. And then in the summertime, that's when, you know, the energy is we're all having fun and planting our foods, and then in the autumn time, that's when high energy is for the heart, really and truthfully, and then in the wintertime, that's when we start releasing. So we have to get back in tune with nature and really understand that energy of the moon. You know, like whatever moon phase that a woman was born under, let's say, for instance, I was born under the last quarter of the moon. For those women who are still having their moon times, their cycles, when the moon phase comes around when you were born, you automatically ovulate. You have a lunar ovulation. And then you have another ovulation, which is your regular ovulation that comes after your moon time. So what we were never taught is that we have two ovulations in a month. So that's why some women, you know, would conceive a baby when they're on their moon time. They're like, oh, how did I, you know, conceive when I'm on my moon time? Well, you had your lunar ovulation. And it doesn't matter whether you are ovulating on your regular ovulations. You can have a double ovulation, and that is a very powerful time. Like, you have so much energy when you have a double ovulation. It is, like, unexplainable. You are so in tune with nature, and you're so in tune with your creativity to where you have the power to create and do whatever it is you put your mind to. So you have to understand the power of the moon, the cycles of the moon, because everything is done in cycles. And once we start getting back in tune and living our lives in the rhythm of cycles, you know, you don't start a new project in the full moon. The full moon is high energy. We're celebrating and we're praising and we're giving thanks. You know, just like you don't have surgery during a full moon, you know, because the recovery time is going to be longer because the moon pulls. So you're going to bleed more during that operation. So it's just understanding those little simple things about the moon and living in harmony, coincide with it so that your life can be a little more easier, a little more smoother. And I love the fact how Mama Azy said to just be quiet. You know, we have to be still. We have to listen. And once we align our energy with Grandmother Moon, we're going to hear more. We're going to be able to tap in and hear what our womb has to say, hear what Grandmother Moon is saying. And it's the most profound messages that you will get once you align yourself. You know, a lot of us are having all these, you know, womb disorders is because we're not following the moon. You know, a lot of us are on birth control pills, which is suppressing ovulation, and that's our creativity. When you are suppressing your ovaries from being released, you're suppressing your femininity, you're suppressing your creativity, and you're really suppressing the ancestors from communicating with you, because that's how our ancestors communicate with us, is through our eggs. You know, we were born with 400,000 plus of those eggs. So our ancestors, that's how they ride back in, is through those eggs. You know, as women, we don't have to have children. We don't have to birth a human being to be creative. You know, those eggs and that creativity is there for us to use to be creative at any given point in time. So when we align ourselves with the moon, we understand that everything will flow in harmony.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's such a wonderful point you make, to follow the moon. Most of my relatives are following the television. And it's pretty near impossible, whether it's some new soap opera during the day or some soap opera during the night. They're following the TV, and that's one of the reasons I had to divorce my husband, because his affair with the television interfered with us having a relationship. So here's the thing that's coming up. I'm getting an aha moment here. Your relationship with your womb is directly connected to whatever you're following in your heart and your eyes and your ears.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm seeing. A lot of people in my life, and a lot of people, clients I've known and relatives, they have issues with the fibroids, the womb, and they're following religion. They might be going to church every Sunday, and they don't read their Bible during the week, but they go to church every Sunday, And then they're cursing and eating all these animals during the week. And then they got fibroids. So you start to see a pattern. And like you're saying, if you're who are you following? Who is your authority is the question. The moon should be your authority. The scriptures should be your authority. There should be some holy book that is guiding you with wisdom and understanding, like Taliba is telling, sharing with us. Nature should be your authority, not some man in a white coat who went to a medical school where the Rockefellers and all the wealthy white men who have come up to this point funded those places and taught them how to write prescriptions and promote pharmaceuticals. So the question becomes, who are you following? Who's your authority in this earth journey, and who are you following? Is it the moon, or is it the newest television exciting soap opera? And I'm going to bring in a caller, 770-770. I believe this is Brother Kwame. Is that you, Brother Kwame?
Well, greetings, Beata, and greetings.
Greetings, greetings. Welcome.
Greetings.
Nice to have you.
Greetings, Brother Kwame.
I was just listening because it's hard for us as men to understand the womb, because we don't walk with that energy. And
mm-hmm.
the understanding is that how do we become complementary or understanding the part of how do we help, and the thing that we've done has caused the damage to the womb, and a lot of the energies that are causing these problems with the sisters is because of the male energy and what we have done, not understanding that womb and that woman, and especially the black woman and the womb in the cosmos are one and the same, and began to understand these cycles in which she was speaking about, because she was saying about the two ovulations, and I was saying, wow, that's a good point, because it's two full moons this month. So she's hitting right on point. And, you know, the waxing and the waning and the utilizing of the energy. And what I was, you know, I always take words and I took the word wombs, because the womb in the cosmic womb and the womb in the woman on earth are one and the same. So those are the two wombs that I'm speaking of. And in those wombs is that that's where our mind versus spirit, and this is what she was talking about, the illness and the spirit develops. Life begins in that cosmic womb, and then we come and formulate in spirit, and then we enter into the human, the divine mother womb, and entering into her, then we become this human. And as men, we don't have that energy of reproducing that organ that, you know, when we were in the womb, we were female, but then in the trimester when we turned from embryo to fetus and we changed into the Y chromosome, and having that to learn how to understand and complement that and help in the healing and help in the connecting, as Barbara Maciniak speaks about, is that when you have a spiritual energy exchange with the woman that knows her power, she goes into the cosmic library and reconnects you to the cosmic, and it's not the other way around. And so it's, as a male, I'm learning to humble myself and see how do I help to bring this forward and what she's doing and how you work with the womb in order to help, like she said, that her creativity, because if she has the ability to know that she's provided for, she's protected, and that she knows that she can understand and trust the professing that she do, then she's doing her one main thing is creating and being a nurturer. And so these are the tools that we are beginning to understand and reawaken, and the male being myself getting touch with that feminine part, but being able to understand that, you know, even with researching and finding out that, you know, OBGYN started from Marion Sims, who's the father of gynecology, and the way that he learned about gynecology was he took slave women and he physically abused them in studying their wombs with no anesthesia, anything but probing inside of that black woman to find out what that womb was about. And now he's created a whole medical field by going into the mother of human, the black woman, and utilizing those parts in which he studied to see how the reproductive system works. So it's, you know, I don't want to take up the show, so I'll just listen, you know, for the rest of it and thank us for sharing.
Well, we appreciate your input, Brother Kwame, because this male energy is just as important in the season we're in of writing her story. Because the male, and I really appreciate you saying you're humbling yourself to try and overstand the female perspective, the female womb. All these things are so important that we work together with our men, with the male energy, to bring harmony and to become one in a way that's healthy. We've had his story written in a way that is in some ways unhealthy. All these wars and all this dominance and all this rape, and like you just mentioned, the guy who created gynecology, what did he do? He was abusing women to discover wisdom and knowledge that's available if you just be quiet and sit and look at the moon and the sun and the stars. But he didn't have the consciousness to do that. So I want to ask Taliba, when we talk about bringing health to the womb, what are some of the herbs and foods? Are there any particular herbs and foods that are most beneficial for the womb, do you think, or just in general for female health?
Oh, yes. That's a good question. In dealing with foods that are shaped like the womb, you know, like the pear and the avocado, you kind of look at your food as for medicine. Eating those foods would definitely help you balance out your womb. As far as for herbs, you know, we have red raspberry. We have quite a few. You know, we have Dong Quai. We have Chase Tree. We have Black Cohosh, Blue Cohosh. I mean, it's endless, which I do formulate all these herbs and make formulas to balance out our hormones, because that's a very important part, too, is balancing out our hormones. It's kind of hard in this society now. If you're eating processed foods, then that alters your hormones automatically, because a lot of processed foods is it's not live. It's just dead food in a box that has no nutritional value whatsoever. I don't care what nobody say. Food in a box sitting on the shelf for endless days, it may sustain you. You may stay alive, but you're not getting no nourishment. So we need live foods, and that's where this whole live food is coming into play now on this planet, is to raise our frequencies, to balance out our bodies and our mind and our spirit. So food is a key component, and just eating live foods, all your leafy greens, vegetables, berries, all your fruits. You know, fruits is what give us energy, and then the vegetables is giving us the nutrients. But the herbs is what's giving us our minerals. That's the key component, is minerals. You know, we high on vitamins in this society, but what is a vitamin? You know, really and truly, we get all our vitamins from eating just a green leafy vegetable. The vitamins is in the food. But the minerals that we are lacking every day, we have to get that from herbs. And they're, you know, sea moss, that's a great mineral herb. Elderberry and bladderwrack. Those three herbs alone have 96 of the trace minerals that we need. And yes, two of them are sea vegetables, sea minerals that give us potassium phosphate, potassium sulfate, and potassium chloride. Those three.
So wait, let me just repeat those. You're saying sea moss, or I think we call it Irish moss.
Irish moss.
Bladder rack. And what's the other one?
Elderberry.
And what's the other one? Elderberries, okay.
Yes,
those three have probably all the nutrients that you would want to or need for the human body, right?
The minerals.
Okay, minerals, right, okay.
Yes, the essential trace minerals that we need. So incorporating those into our, you know, body would definitely nourish the womb, especially for women who are pregnant. They, you know, sea moss is a great drink you can make, or you can just, you know, I don't know about drinking it because it tastes like the sea. It's a moss. It's a vegetable from the ocean. But you can get it in its natural form and, you know, boil it and make drinks like the Jamaicans. You know, sea moss,
well,
Irish moss is the drink.
Yeah.
But that
and
will give
I,
you the
I,
minerals you need.
I just bought some raw Irish moss from a local health food store. And here's an easy recipe to get that. I know the taste. You don't eat it by itself, but if you soak it for 4 hours outside the refrigerator, or they recommend 8 hours in the refrigerator, then you put that in your oatmeal. Now, you can make raw oatmeal by soaking those oats overnight and then putting them in a really good blender like Vitamix, and you put that sea moss in there, the oats, and put your cinnamon, whatever sweetener
mm-hmm.
you I put flax seeds, chia seeds. I throw everything
mm-hmm.
in there, and that is so filling and nourishing
mm-hmm.
for me
mm-hmm.
when I'm cleaning houses. That you're so right about that Irish moss. There's something real special, and the one thing you need to buy is some sea moss or Irish moss. And sometimes you have to go to a Caribbean grocery store to get that. They sell them in these little packages. For really cheap. You can get Irish moss really cheap, and you don't need a lot, right?
Right, yeah. Like you say, just soak it, and you can make a drink out of it. Just soak it and
add it to the
blender with some almond milk and add a little vanilla
yeah.
flavoring, and
yeah.
voila, you got a nice drink, good breakfast, good lunch, and a good dinner.
Yeah, it really is a very important nutrient, and our Creator has maintained. It's amazing that we still have Irish moss available. Some of the things that are available to us to purchase for a fairly low amount of money, because our Creator knows that this is what we really, really need in our bodies. You know, some
yeah.
things might go away and we can't find them, or you want to buy this or that and you don't have the money. But Irish moss, it's easy to find. It's cheap. So everyone listening on this call, I highly recommend you go out and find some Irish or sea moss, it's called. And it's kind of an opaque-looking jelly, thick rope-looking, it comes in a small package. But find that and include that in your diet somehow, some way. And you can always contact Taliba go to her website and get more information. Her website is on the Blog Talk page, but if you're not online, you can write down her website. It's www.divinewombs.com. Is that right, Taliba?
Yes, and then a quicker, easy, shorter website they can go to, which is my herbal website, which is Earth Herbs, and that's URTHERBS.com. And once you go to Earth Herbs, you can automatically link on to Divine Wombs for Life, or vice versa.
Yeah.
So
now,
I
want to ask you. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. URTHERBS.com. Earth Herbs.
Okay. I want to ask you about a particular health challenge that I have read about for many years and that I know a lot of women suffer with. They usually diagnose with a yeast infection, but we're talking about candida.
Yeah.
Do you have many women, first of all, coming to you and then they tell you they have a yeast infection, and then you determine, well, you have candida? And what are you seeing as far as how many women are challenged with this, and then what you are suggesting to help bring the body in balance and reduce the amount of candida? Because I know candida is in the body all the time.
Yes.
But it grows when we have a diet that is out of balance. So talk about that for a little while for us, will you please?
Yes, and candida is just an overgrowth of yeast in the body, and it feeds off of sugar. It feeds off of sugar for sure. So the best way to combat that is to have a sugarless diet. And a lot of people are starting to confuse refined sugar with natural sugar that comes from plants and fruits. Those are the sugars that we need. Those are the natural sugars we need in our body. But we have to abstain from eating a lot of the refined sugars. And really and truthfully, the best way to and the quickest way to rid candida is to do a juice fast. And I work with a wonderful chef. Her name is Leticia. Ashley is livedelicious.com is her website. She has the best juice formulas to help rid the body of any ailment, but candida is quickly combated with juicing. If you juice for 30 days, really and truthfully, if you start juicing like a week and then, you know, build your week up 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, in months' time, your body is going to change on the molecular structure. You have to change your eating habits. And omitting the sugars from your diet, once you do that, then you can get your candida under control, and then you can start taking one particular herb that I really, really love, and it's pardiaco. Awesome herb that will help fight this candida. Not only does that, it will give you the iron that you need. And us as melanated people who were brought over here from Africa, we lack iron. You know, they tell us all the time, oh, you're anemic. Yes, of course I am, because I'm not in my element. So therefore, pardiaco will give us that iron that we need. And also that sea moss too. But pardiaco in particular, it really helps dry up that candida and really gives us, you know, the natural pH balance that we need in our body to get rid of the candida. So like you said in the beginning, pH, that pH balance is very important. So when we omit the sugars, juice your life away. I think that's the quickest way to heal any chronic illness is to juice for a whole month, and if you can go for 3 months, then you're doing your body some greatness. But juicing is the key, a quick way to really bring back the nutrients into our body, give the oxygen where it has, you know, we're lacking oxygen for one because we're eating foods that have sugar that depletes our cells. So once you, you know, bring back this natural live food into your body, it's going to be giving your organs the oxygen that it needs. And candida cannot live in an oxygenated environment. It can't live in it. So mostly all your diseases can't live in it. So that's why juicing right now is like the quickest and fastest and healthiest way to heal your body.
And when you were talking about juicing, we have to remind everyone, we're not talking about juicing sweet fruits because that's what feeds candida. So what type of vegetables would you say what would you suggest a person start off like with in the first week if they want to overcome candida or any other health challenges they're having? Can you name maybe about 5 or 6 vegetables that they could use throughout the week that would be best to overcome that?
Yes, dandelion greens for one, cucumbers, collards, mustards, all your bitter greens, definitely the bitters. I know a lot of people don't like to use aloe, but if you can juice some aloe, the gel from the aloe vera plant, you know, some things that we don't think that we can juice, like cabbage. Now, cabbage is sweet, but it's not that sweet. Beets are sweet as well. I mean, but you can mix it with cucumbers and celery. I mean, oh, my God. I mean, I can go on and on. So all your leafy greens, especially the bitter ones, like the dandelions right now because we're in summer, dandelion, collard, mustard, turnip, they're bitter. So you can throw in a cucumber and some celery to kind of balance it out. But just that's some straight cold-pressed juicing.
Yeah. And I know a lot of people would be saying, oh, that sounds horrible. That all those bitters. But I often add a green apple. If you're going to add any food at all, probably the Granny Smith is the least sweet, the lowest in sugar, natural sugar. So if you have to have some more taste, because that's kind of potent right there, but it'll freeze you out. That's the thing about this juicing. The ones that taste bitter are the ones that are going to be most effective in cleaning the body and healing the body and restoring the body. Those are your rich, mineral-rich vegetables that you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm. So and your body's going to love it.
Yes, yes. We have such perverted tongues in our society that when you mention those types of foods, people automatically think, how in the world can I do that when I'm so used to eating cookies and cakes and ice cream and all the other processed foods, Cheerios, Honey Nut Cheerios, and milk, even milk. You have somebody who's hooked on milk, and even that food product is going to pervert their taste buds because it's a pasteurized dairy product from a cow, which we really don't need. And we're so addicted to that. Even grown-ups, I have grown-ups, my daughter-in-law and son, and I go into their house and then look in their refrigerator, there's whole milk in there. I'm like, who needs whole milk in this family? So there's so many foods that we have to wean ourselves from to be able to enjoy the dandelion, cucumber, mustard greens, collard greens, cabbage, and beet juice. So how would you advise people to start weaning from all these dead foods?
Well, it starts with the mind. It's a mental thing because we have been conditioned. We've been conditioned into this society to, you know, every food that is flashed on that idiot box, that's what I call it, telling lies to your vision, the television, it is, you know, promoting you and subconsciously building up your mind to go buy this, buy that, eat this. But it's really about building up your mental strength and understanding first that your body is electrical. Once you understand that the body is electrical and it needs electrical foods to live, that helps you understand what types of food you need. So if you really want to understand that you are your body is a temple and you are a miracle. Every being is a miracle because if you think about it, that one sperm that got, you know, through all them other million of sperms is you. You are a miracle, that one in a million. So your body is a temple, and it is electrical, and we have to feed it electrical foods. And the other thing is educating yourself on the foods that are in the grocery stores now, you know, even from the vegetables. We have to know what's a GMO product, what's not a GMO, a genetically modified food, what's a real food, you know, understanding those labels, the 3, the 9, and the 4, knowing that, you know, what's organic, what's not organic. That might not be important to some people, but in this day and age, food is being used as a weapon. And if we don't get serious about what we're putting inside our holy temples, then we're going to diminish. We're going to go to the wayside because our food is our medicine. So just knowing that your food is your medicine and just trying eliminating, you know, just one thing that you know you shouldn't be eating once a week. Like if you're eating something you know you shouldn't be eating, say, oh, well, this week let me omit this. And then take it in strides, you know, one day at a time. Nothing happens overnight. You got to be gentle with your body, but you have to educate yourself. That's the first thing.
And we're looking, I look at a lot of people who are eating for comfort. And that's one area that I believe you're dealing with as well in your practice, is helping people come out of comfort eating and trying to guide them and help them see why they're eating for comfort. Have you talked to many of your clients about the comfort eating and ways that they can begin to become more aware and conscious, first of all, that they are comfort eating, and how to come out of that comfort eating and into more of an awareness about what this vessel needs?
Yeah, it is definitely comfort eating. But at the same time, you know, as, you know, our culture, we do everything around food. you know, because it's nourishing. You know, we have to have our nourishment. But in this society, food is comforting. And the reason being it's comforting is because our nervous systems are shot. We have to understand that we are being distracted on every given moment in our lives from the television. And it's not to say that it's a negative thing. So from the television, from the radio, to the billboards that we see when we're driving our cars, to the people who are walking on the side of us, I mean, everything is a distraction. And it's stimulating our nervous system rapidly, especially our adrenal gland. And so people who drink coffee on a daily basis, you are, you know, just like really demolishing your adrenal glands. So we are emotional eaters because we don't have no peace in our lives. Our nervous systems need to be calm. We need to relax. That's the name of the game. Being quiet, going inward, tapping into your soul, hearing what your soul is telling you, because all the pain that we are having, it really is a wake-up call. The pain is saying it's time to change. Something's not right. So when you go in and you start listening, you'll see that your nervous system is shot. We're all nervous. We're all, you know, affected by this. We're all being stimulated by something on some level. So the more you can go inward and meditate and breathe and bring some peace into your mind, then you can start understanding that I have to nourish my nervous system. I have to nourish my spine, my electrical circuits that are going throughout my whole body, which is our nerves. So, you know, and I do have formulas, you know, to help calm our nerves that won't make you go to sleep. And I'm not saying that we need to go into depression mode. No, we just need something to just calm our nerves a little bit so that we can stay still long enough to hear what it is our body is saying to us. Because the body talks to us all day long.
And that is a book that I wrote, My Body is Talking to Me. That was the message that I got. It's funny you mentioned that. When I had one of my life-changing moments with a sister who had breast cancer, I realized her body was talking to her, and she wasn't able to listen because of the grief and the unforgiveness and the guilt that she was carrying. So I want to just encourage everyone who's on the line, if you're carrying unforgiveness, grief, and guilt, work on letting that go, because you are so needed in this journey to heal the earth, to heal the womb, and to bring the men along with us on this journey to tell their story. We so need every female person who's listening within the sound of my voice to wake up and get rid of the unforgiveness. Forgive yourself. I was listening to Matt Kahn last night. Oh, my goodness. Matt Kahn really speaks to my soul. And he was talking about soulmates, twin flames, and soul partners. And the one thing he said that registered with me and stayed with me was that your soulmate, your best and most powerful soulmate is you. You have got to learn to love you more than anybody else. You're not going to get a man in your life who is the right soulmate until you to make yourself the soulmate, until you turn your love toward you first and foremost. And we're talking tonight about loving yourself so much that you give up these processed foods, loving yourself so much that you do some fasting, juice fasting. Maybe you can't do a whole month straight, 30 days straight, but do juice fasting two or three times a week or even once a week. Let your day off be a day that you love yourself, that you nourish your soulmate within you to the place where you are just filled with joy and purpose and why you're here, to the point where you realize so deeply your assignment on this earth that you just start doing that with passion, just like Taliba is doing in North Carolina, just like what I'm doing here in Orlando and what Sister AZ's doing in Arizona and what Kwame's doing in Georgia. We're waking up the womb within us, that vortex within us, that powerful energy within us, and we're doing our assignment. It's so important now that we wake up the womb, that we heal the womb, and that we nourish the soulmate within us.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to thank you, Taliba, so much for bringing us all this wisdom and knowledge. This is so necessary. Such a beautiful, beautiful woman you are, and beautiful soul. I want to encourage everyone to go to her website, visit her website, www.divinewoundsforlife.com, and she gave you the simpler one. And do you want to give your email address if they want questions or want to contact
you?
Yes.
Yes, you can go to, it's Divine Wombs, DiVineWombs at gmail.com. And it's DiVineWombs at gmail.com.
All right.
And,
well,
and
you
thank
are
you.
Now in. You are now in the family of Soul Purpose Healing. So we're going to be contacting
you
and keeping this connection going, because we have to support one another in this journey.
Oh,
we
yeah.
can't be discouraged
yeah.
and disappointed for too long, because we have work to do. We know we have.
Yes.
We are conscious.
Yeah.
We are aware of what's
yeah.
needed on this earth. We're writing her story along with his help, Brother Kwame. So we are excited, and we're moving forward. And if anyone has a question or comment, now is the time. Hit number one before we let Taliba go. Now is the time. And if those who've been on the line, Kwame or AZ, if you have any comments or questions at this time, let us know.
Sister, can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, I can.
You know, when I was 33, that was 30 years ago, I was introduced to meditation. And at 27, I met a lady in St. Augustine, Florida, Mrs. V. Van Alstine. And she's Sagittarian, just like my mom. She introduced me to vitamins and the natural way of eating and raw foods and these kinds of things. And from that, when I moved from there to the ancestors brought me in North Carolina to in Virginia, I stayed on a path of raw foods. And I was so sick one day, and I had to go to social services, and the lady took a liking to me, and she says, when you go home, I want you to rest, but after you rest, you call my friend who has the only herb, the health food store, and the rest is history. She gave me a juicer and all the books that she could think of that would be good for me to use. I started juicing, and for 15 years, when I traveled back and forth from there to Arizona, my family, everybody thought I was crazy. People that I work with call me the root woman, because I was in the process of wanting to grow my bone, growing my bone back. However, that didn't happen. Something else happened. I strengthened my body to the point that I'm able, or was able, to do certain things that even some men couldn't do, with the physical anomalies that I have with my body. And when I look back over that, that was a good thing, because it prepared me for the journey or the mission that I agreed to do. And the ancestors had to bring me all the way from San Diego, stop me in Florida, and then on to Virginia to meet up with other like-minded people that I was not even aware of that was inside of me. And how I found this out? Listening to the ancestors. and following those messages. I'm not strictly vegan now. However, I am changing back to my diet and being more strict with myself so that I can continue to do this mission. So I give thanks to all of the listening ones who may not say anything, my sisters all over the planet, you know, the Sophias and the Sevens and the Arts and the Hensons and the Kwamis and the Van Alsteins and everyone who has assisted me in my circle, my family circle that did not come through my mother's gate. I give thanks. So that's my comment, sister. And I thank us.
Thank us. Well, I thank us and I thank the heavens. And I'm going to play some music as we leave and begin to prepare for our week ahead of us. This is Yanni. Yanni has helped me come out of many downward relationships, downward play, depression. I've had so many moments where putting Yanni on just lifted me right up. And I was trying to find an appropriate song today for the womb. And all the womb songs are Tchaikovsky and this very peaceful music because they have music for the womb when the baby's in the womb and they want it to be calm and peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought this music by Yanni. Yanni brought together on this piece musicians from all over the world. And that's what I love about Yanni's music is that if you've ever been to a concert with Yanni, you'll see musicians on the stage all the way from Australia, the Aboriginals playing their ancient instruments, Chinese, Argentinians. Yanni's music brings together people from all over the world, and they make the most beautiful music, in my opinion. Everybody may not like Yanni. But this tune is called The Storm. And it's a pretty fast pace, but it ought to lift you up out of any depression and have you patting your feet, maybe getting up dancing. But I thought it's a beautiful way to end this session about being aware of the womb, because the womb is dancing, and it's the peace in the midst of the storm. That womb is deep inside you, and you might have a storm all around you, but the womb is smiling because the womb knows who it is, and it just smiles whenever there's a storm. So may you all enjoy this music and come back Wednesday. We get together for the Rainbow Coalition, and we have conversations of consciousness is what I call it, and we help raise your consciousness. So for all of you who joined us tonight, and especially you, Taliba, thank you so much. Bless you.
Thank you.
And enjoy Yanni.